Blog Talk Radio.
George Gamond, and welcome to the show. Ooh, I don't see anybody there. Oh, okay. Well, you'll join me soon, I'm sure, and we'll have some fun, and you'll call in, and you want to talk to dead people. I also talk a lot about past lives, so if you're so inclined to do that, we can do that. If you want to hear what Spirit has to say about your lives and what's going on, and, you know, we've got questions for Spirit, and maybe, and I'd like to refer to those who have passed, your friends, your relatives, your ancestors, maybe famous people, if they have advice for you about your issues and problems in life. Yes, I'm a big law of attraction person, as you know, and I'm working on a class about prosperity and how to achieve prosperity, and I'll drop in as I develop ideas on the class. I've taken my time, sometimes too slow, right? And so I'm really putting it together on how to get what you want in life, how to manifest what you want in life. So it's going to be a good class. It's on learnitlive.com, and I'll give you the link and give you the schedule of the show. Hopefully I'll get everything put together this week. I'm going to have a class next week, and I'll just do the same class, like variations of it, but hopefully I can get a lot of people to pay attention to the class, because I think it's really important to know how to manifest what you want in life. Ooh, isn't that so important? Or how to get past those blocks. I call it the wall and the bridge thing. We put up walls, and we continually to put up walls to what we want. And we put up these giant boulders or blocks in our walls, in our wall, to keep us from getting and manifesting what we want. So every once in a while, things will sneak through. So, but the idea is the bridge, paving that bridge that brings us everything from the universe. So I have some articles today. I have quite a few articles, actually. So if you're not calling in, I will go through my articles. I have one that's kind of, a couple that are kind of fun about body language. One designed for, well, it's for men, but women could say, ooh, I do that? Oh, no. And I, with a man, I do this? Oh, wow, this is what I'm showing him. And I have another article on what men's body language, and this is a long one, so I won't do the whole thing, but it's about when men's body language of men, especially on a first date, or, you know, it could be even later than that, what it means, how you can interpret it. I think that's kind of a cool thing, right? What do you think? We'll do that. I have an Abraham quote. I think I'm going to start the show. Well, I'll do the Abraham quote. And then I'll let my spirit guides talk to you about God, religion, and all that fun stuff, right? Yeah, because I was thinking about that. Driving, I had to go to Orange County, which is like 30 miles from where I live yesterday. And on the way home, for some reason, I got thinking about religion and God and all that sort of fun stuff. And I had some thoughts or ideas. I thought, I like that. I like these. It was kind of startling at some level. And a lot of people would be going, oh, you can't say that. But I said it. So I said it in my car, and I'll say it to you in a few minutes. So unless you're calling in, unless you get in the chat room and have questions and so forth, and you want Spirit or your ancestors to comment on certain things. Now I get a little sip of water here. My throat's a little dry. I don't know why. We've actually been having really lovely weather here in Southern California, greater Los Angeles area, Pasadena, California. It's been raining, which we really, really, really need. Those rain dances help. Yes, they do. Putting it out to the universe, putting it out to the spirit, the energies that control the earth cycles and the weather cycles. But they always say, if you change one area, you're going to affect another area. So be careful what you ask for, right? But we put it out there, good old positive energy, put out energy for rain, or to have normal rainfall, normal cycles that bring you the sufficient amount of rain that you need for the area you live in, right? Isn't that important? I think it is. Yes. Okay, let me do the Abraham quote. Well, let Spirit talk to you, my spirit guide, Jay and the family. And we'll go from there. I know I'm kind of like babbling a little bit. I have so many things to cover. Okay, I posted this on Facebook, so if you want to read it later on Facebook, you please do. when I post it. I have a couple other websites I go to, quite a few websites I go to post things. So you can always find me, and I post a lot of articles and so forth. If you're not with me on Facebook already, please join me on Facebook, because I post all kinds of fun stuff. Some it's political, but it's more about politics as in how it affects you personally. So we'll do that. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave the Facebook. Wow, I didn't know it did that. Okay. Never mind. I'm just babbling. I'm looking at this quote for Abraham, and I didn't realize that I could post it from different places from here. Let me see if it does it. You're going, oh, it doesn't. Okay. It's them on Facebook. Okay. That doesn't do it. So let me read the quote. It feels so good to realize that energy that creates worlds is supporting you. To wake up every morning in clarity, knowing exactly who you are, to know that source energy. Now, let me stop. Put the brakes on right here. Source. Now, if you're not familiar with the concept of source, some people call it God, but in a lot of spiritual renderings, I guess, the word is source is used, the source of everything, instead of the word God, because God can put all kinds of crazy thoughts in your head, right? Ooh. So they use the word source. And from my channeling and from reading other channeled material and working with people in that area, I find that source is actually a little better term than God. Okay, so to know that source is thinking through you, to experience meaningful rendezvous, to dovetail with the right people who give you the right piece of information just at the right time, to never feel dependent about anyone, to know with clarity who you are, to feel the energy that creates worlds moving through your fingertips and through your mind, to see evidence all around you of the thoughts that you've been thinking, to feel the power of who you are. That is what you came for. And this is from Abraham. I love this quote for a lot of different reasons. First of all, I love this quote because it talks about God seeing through yours. Source, how exactly does it say? Okay. To feel the energy that creates worlds moving through your fingertips, through your mind. That source lives through us. God lives through us. Spirit lives through us. Spirit likes to experience through us and wants to experience, wants to taste the food that you're tasting, wants to see the things that you're seeing, wants you to use your hands to create the world that you want to create. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Now, to get into that place, that creative place, is about alignment with source. It's being in alignment. So if you, and this is one of the keys to prosperity. So I'm giving away some stuff here. Free. This is free. Free stuff. One of the keys of prosperity is just believing that, aligning yourself with source. So source works through you. It's your will, your purpose, your creation, but source is working through you to see how you do it and to push you forward to do it. Okay. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Isn't that amazing that, you know, the powers of the universe want to see through you and do through you? Ta-da! Amazing. Absolutely incredible. You know, do you really believe that? Do you believe you are the fingers of God, the eyes of God, the ears of God, the mouth of God, the instrument of the divine? Now, I believe that in the channeling I do and even doing this show. I'm just kind of free-floating through here, just trying to let spirit work through me. So I could say that I'm a radio station, a loudspeaker for source. And I love that concept. You know, when I was first starting off, I kind of resented it a little bit. Like, I don't know. You know, because the ego goes, it's got to be me. But the more I get into it, the more I realize that's what we're here for. That's one of the reasons, is for the non-physical world to experience the physical world through us. We're an extension of our higher self. We're an extension. There is no separation. absolutely no separation between us and the non-physical world and spirit. They're just working through us all the time. Can I accept that concept? Okay, I said I would let spirit talk to you. And I'll give them a few minutes because I want to get into a couple of these articles. Maybe I'm just going to talk about body language today because it's kind of a fun subject. And I studied in hypnotherapy and NLP and all of that sort of thing, body language and modalities and modeling. And I read a lot of books on that. So I thought it was kind of fascinating. We'll cover a little bit of it. You ever go on a date and you wonder what they're really thinking? Well, you don't have to think about what you're thinking because you can see what they're thinking through their body language. So, but before I do that, before I get into the body language thing, let me let spirit talk to you about what I was talking about earlier, God, religion, and all of the above, right? Okay, hopefully they go there. I don't know. Maybe they won't go there. Maybe they'll talk about something else. But they usually kind of follow through on what they say they're going to talk about. As we were giving George ideas yesterday while he was driving, didn't distract him though. He did a pretty good job of driving, even though we were trying to catch his attention and give him some ideas and thought about religion and how it formed and why it came about. And we've talked about this before, why religion came about. But let's get into the form of religion and how it developed and the sacred texts and how they developed and how they thought, how they were thought out and why they came about. Well, some of it is misinterpretation of what they were receiving from spirit, misunderstandings. A lot of what is in sacred texts, the Bible, the Quran, and other sacred texts are based on verbal and traditional stories and ideas and mythology, if we use that word here, of how things happened. And the authors of sacred texts took those stories and compiled those stories and made them into something that sounds very cohesive, very much in line with what they wanted to perpetrate to the society that they were living in or to society in general. Now, some of these sacred texts are based on history, but as you know, history gets interpreted and presented from the eye of those who see history. Now, the Egyptians' history of what happened with the Israelites is much different than the history that the Israelites present in the Bible. Okay, so for clear understanding, history is presented by those who are writing history and from their perspective. It always has been. It always will be. From the eyes of what they believe their gods are telling them to say to people. Okay, so a lot of it's based on ancient verbal, oral traditions that were passed on, such as your flood that's written in the Bible was passed on by oral tradition and reworked by the writers and the preparers of those texts that were to later become the Bible. So that they, you know, we have to admit to you that these people were very intelligent. And for their time in history, they were pretty wise in what they were doing and how to put it together and how to put a cohesive story together and develop a cohesive story to present to people that sounded pretty persuasive. Okay, but it was all based on tradition. Was it inspired? As in, everyone is open to spirit. Everyone is open to hear, receiving and interpreting energies that come through there and thoughts and ideas. And you can call those divine. You can say, well, in my dream, I got this. In my waking visions, I got this. Now, is it 100% from source? Not necessarily. We can't say it is. We would not try to mislead you and not try to, we don't want to take away from the principles. We want to take away from the values and the stories that very valued lessons for people. We don't want you to take away, leave that and say, no, nothing is of value. A lot of it is of value. A lot of what's written in sacred texts is of value to you. But you need to look at it from what we would say is how much of it's based on mythology, how much is based on not actual history. The comparison we gave George yesterday, and it's a very excellent comparison, is when somebody takes a book and they're going to make it into a movie or an actual situation in somebody's life or a historical event, and they take that and they're going to make it into a movie and to dramatize it and to make it more exciting, they stretch the truth to make a movie, don't they? They take the events and they stretch it. Well, George is watching this TV show. It was on HBO, and it was called Vinyl. And Vinyl is about the history of rock and roll music and music, the period of 1973. And he was listening to the writer, one of the creators of the show, and he was talking about this event that was showing in the TV show where there's this musical event and the building collapsed around them, those who were playing, and the building fell down. Well, it was based on an actual fact. The building did fall down. It was an old building, but it wasn't during a concert. People were rehearsing. No one got hurt. But the writers for the story took the story and made it Hollywood to make it, give it more dramatic impact, to teach maybe a little bit greater lesson about the protagonist in the movie, okay, or the TV show. So that's how sacred texts are written. It could be based on some historical facts or some historical leanings, but it's dramatized. It's made to teach a bigger lesson than actually what took place. So that's our little take on religion, sacred texts. Take it with a grain of salt. Take it with the idea that, yeah, there's some great value here. There's stories here that have some value. They teach lessons. But they're not necessarily meant to be the standards to live by, complete standards to live by. Within you, within every human, when you come to the planet Earth as a physical being, you carry with you the values from Source, from God. You carry with you, built within you, you have within you this built-in value system about love, about kindness, about generosity, about forgiveness, about all of these beautiful qualities, you know, not doing harm to others, being sharing with others, you know, being compassionate to others, being sincere to others. All of these are part of you already. Tap into your higher consciousness. Tap into who you are, and you have your value systems. They're there. They're part of you. They're a part with every human that comes into planet Earth, that comes into a life. Now, they get distorted and they get twisted and your belief systems changed based on the behavior around you and how you're influenced. But if you had no sacred texts to refer to, you would still have those values with you. Many of those values are expressed in sacred text because that's the values that people brought to the planet Earth. When you incarnated in a human body, you carried those with you wherever you lived on the planet. So that's why a lot of the sacred texts have very similar values, is because people already have that with them. It's not something they had to learn. It was part of them. Could you survive without sacred texts? Could you have a meaningful society without them? Yes, but you would still write them. You would still take these values and express them, and they would become in a written form, and you would create a new Bible or a new whatever, because that's your nature of who you are. So we're going to leave you with that. I know George wanted to cover some things. He wanted to go through some material. We just want you to be reassured that if stand alone, without anything around you, without any text, if you rely on your inner being, your higher self, the source that connects with you, you can have the guidance that you need, the rudder that you need to live a peaceful, happy, joyful life. So thank you. Bye. Okay, I'm back. That was interesting, wasn't it? People left me, they're going, "Ooh, what was that all about? Oh, I like my Bible." Well, you might. That's okay. Like your Bible. It doesn't matter. That's kind of heavy-duty stuff, you know? It's all based on mythology, or a lot of it. I love that example that Spirit used about, what am I going to say, what Spirit said about the historical texts in the Bible and other sacred scriptures was that it was all dramatized. It was all taking something and it blew it up, make it sound like more of an exciting story so people would learn lessons from it, like a movie, TV show. Take some real historical facts and dramatize it, pump them up. Okay, so we'll leave that alone. So let's get into some of the body language, what I was going to talk about, because it's kind of fun. Now, if you want to talk about something else and you want Spirit to give you some advice on something, or if you want whatever you want, you can call me. You can call me, or you can ask questions, or you want to know about your past lives. We talk a lot about your past lives because you do incarnate many times. You've been here hundreds of thousands of times. No, I shouldn't say hundreds of thousands. I think the Spirit was saying hundreds of thousands. Maybe that's been through all. Well, there's all eternity. So who knows where other planets you've been on? You know, 10 million years ago, what other planet were you on? Isn't that a crazy thought? If your soul's been around that long, where has it been? It wouldn't be interesting to know where else your soul has been. What other planets you've been on? Okay, let's do body language. Okay, I'm just kind of going off into this woo cosmic thing here. Okay, let's move back on to decoding her actions. Now, I know most of my listeners are women. Okay? Most of my listeners are women, but think about this in terms of, do you do this when you meet a man or even a boyfriend, even a husband? What is your body language? So this is from beliefnet.com, and I don't have the author. Oh no, but it seems reasonable. So, because I have another article similar to this about men reading men's body language. A woman's actions are just as important as her words when it comes to understanding how attracted she is to you. Find out what her body language is telling you about your relationship. Okay, let's do it. Okay, let's do it. Now, if there's women who are in the chat room or calling in, I want your reaction to this. Do you think this is true? I would say most of this, we as men look for some of this stuff. Okay? When a woman touches you lightly, she wants you not only to know that she innocently desires you, but also that you're all hers. Ooh. When a woman feels your body close to her body, it connects you to her. Now, I was thinking about, I went on a date, and the woman went to the restroom and came back, and she touched me slightly on the shoulder. Now, we didn't continue the relationship, and for whatever her fears were at that point in time, but when a woman walks by and touches you on the shoulder or the arm, or you're talking and she reaches out and touches you, that's what she's meaning. Now, what do you think? You agree, disagree? It means I'm willing to connect with you. I physically want to connect with, not just sexually, but physically want to connect with you. I want to possess you. Okay, we won't go that extreme. She crosses her arms. Ooh, unless it's cold in the room and a woman crosses her arms, something's going on in her head. Crossing her arms gives her a personal sense of protection. She's putting out an invisible barrier, signaling she's not comfortable with the current conversation or situation. Now, I agree with that one, you know, cross the arms and look at you with that stern look in her face like, okay, it's time to run to the hills. I did something, right? Uh-oh, what did I do now? Okay, so we're going to go some through. Oh, these are fun. You know, sometimes you got to have fun with stuff. It can't be just all serious. Well, this is serious, because if you go on a date, what signals are you giving out to a man? Or even when your partner or friend, or what signals are you giving out to a person? Think about it as we go through these. And we'll do the man one next, what men do. She leans in forward in conversation, paying attention to a woman's body movements. When a woman leans in forward when you're talking to her, she wants you to know you have her complete attention. Ooh, she doesn't just care about you listening to what she has to say. She honestly cares about what you have to say. So it's that connecting thing, reaching in, moving in close so that you know, oh, I really want you to know what I got to say to you, or I really want to hear what you have to say. So you got to feel good about that if you're a man. And if you're a woman, if you're not paying attention to your body language and you're doing this thing, you're going to give off some weird signals to a man. Now, this one, I kind of wonder sometimes about. Okay, I'm going to give you the next one. Now, I really want your opinion on this one because I went on a date, another date. Whoa, different woman. And she did this. And I think I read it wrong for whatever reason. Okay, this is a major. Okay, she plays with her hair. This is a major sign of her interest. When a woman tosses or plays with her hair, she's trying to grab your attention. She wants you to know she wants you without saying a word. Ooh. Yeah, but this woman was doing that, and she decided not to go out again. Maybe it was in the immediacy of the situation. I don't know. Maybe I misread it. Maybe she wasn't doing that, and it was just a bad thing, right? Just wasn't what she intended it to put across. So if you're out with a man and you're playing with your hair, men read these things. Men go, ooh, she wants me. You know, so be careful with your body language. Okay, she crosses her legs. A woman crossing her legs is a major sign of confidence, and she's in tune with her femininity. Not only does she want to show off the definition of her legs, but also she's confident about what's in front of her, where things are going with you. Interesting. She's confident about your relationship. I like that one. What do you think? And I'm going through these, and I think these are kind of interesting. And the next one is really fascinating. And I never thought about the next one. But I'll go through it anyway. Okay? Her knees point towards you. So watch your knees, ladies. Watch your knees. Where are they going? Where are they pointing, right? People often overlook body language below the waist. But the position of a woman's knees is a major indicator of her attention. If her knees point towards you, it indicates strong desire. Ooh, she's so attracted to you that she wants to be positioned towards you. If her knees point away from you, it indicates the opposite. Her body language says she's disconnected from you, and her mind is somewhere else. Yeah, they have a picture of a couple, and the picture is from waist down, and they're sitting at a table. And the woman is sitting in a chair, but her knees are pointed away from the man, and you can see she's holding a cell phone, probably reading a text. So the movement of her legs away from the man indicates, I'm shutting down to you. I'm turning away from you. But if she's pointing at you, so women, what do you think? What do you do? Are you careful about this sort of thing, the language you're giving off to men? Got to be careful. We misinterpret stuff because we read this stuff and go, ooh, she's got her legs pointed at me. Her knees in this case. So what do you think? You guys are not responding. But, okay, she mirrors your movements. So this is really cool stuff because I learned a lot in this with my studies of modality and body language and reading people's body language and modeling other people. Okay, when a woman is in tune with you, her movements will often mirror yours. This can indicate her strong level of comfort with you. Whether you have been talking for a couple of days or a couple of years, her actions line up in a way that signals to the world the two of you are in love or connecting. Okay, if you're sitting at a table with a man, and now you can do the same thing. Women can do this to men just as much as men can do this to women. If you kind of fold your hands and put them in front of you, does the person with you do the same thing or something very similar to that? If you pull or put your hand on your hair, does the person do the same thing? Do they follow your body movements? Do they follow what you're doing with your hands and your body? Okay? If they are, then you're really connecting. But women can do this too. If you go out on a date with a man and you want to know if a man's connecting with you or a woman's connecting with you, when you go out on the date, watch the body language. Like when you fold your hands, put them together, clasp them together, or move them apart, does the person across from you follow you? in the movements that they put their, if you put your hands on your lap, do they move their hands off the table? Okay, you touch your face, and do they go for their face? And it's not instantaneous. It may take a few seconds. You might just rest your hand on your chin, and do they do a similar movement after a few minutes or a minute or so? Because if they are, you're kind of locked in there. You got this locked in thing going on. It goes both ways, male and female. Now, I learned this in sales too. If you're in a selling environment and you're working with a client, and if you're watching the body language, if you're doing these things and they're following you, you're connecting with that person. They're following you, and you've connected. So it's much easier to sell. If their body movements are the complete opposite of yours, then you have a challenge because you're not connecting on that subconscious level. So that's an interesting thing. So that's for both men and women. It works both ways. And so body language is kind of important in meeting somebody. You know, if you missed the first part of the show, you might want to go through back over it, because this is a really great article. And we go out on dates or we meet people, and it could be in the business environment. It could be people that you meet in business. It could be family members. A lot of this is similar, especially the thing about modeling. Okay, so let's move that. So the mirroring or modeling, let's move on. Oops, I went the wrong way. Oh, that's it. That's the ones they have here. Okay, I thought there was more. There wasn't more, but I got another article. Oops, not about food. We're not going to talk about food. We're back onto this body language thing. And I'll check back and forth. This is Body Language Decoder, and it's for Cosmopolitan. And it's about men's language. Now, those men who might be listening to the show, or women who listen to men. Now, think about this. It's they have pictures, but these pictures are kind of like, whoa, these guys are young and they're like half naked. It's like, wait a minute now, how does this got to do with it? Because this body language is not necessarily, it's with fully clothed and you're meeting somebody. It could be first date, second date, third date. It doesn't matter. First meeting. So we'll just assume it's any kind of meeting. He positions his chest and shoulders towards you, even if he's looking at something else. What does that mean? What it means is, he half smiles. What it means is a good chance. If he half smiles, not a big gritty smile, but a half smile, there's a good chance this guy just wants a no strings fling. Isn't that kind of weird, huh? If it's a half smile, kind of a little, it's a sneer-like grin is an indication. Sneer-like grin. Oh, I should go back. I think I missed something here. Let's see if it... Okay. I did miss something. Okay, let me go back to the first one, because I thought, wait a minute, that didn't mean anything. When it's back to the shoulder thing, right? Shoulders pointed at you. When it's you, your best friend, or keg in the corner, whatever a boy aims his upper body at is the most meaningful thing in the room to him. Now, this is men or boys. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, teenagers or early young adults. Body language works all ages. So if one night a tasty man morsel approaches your posse, you and your friends won't need to fight for a fellow's affections. Steady his body language, and you already know who he is after. So he squares up and points at you. Okay, now, men out there, I'm going to do this another one. I'll probably finish this one on another show, because this is kind of fun. Because this is good, like, romantic, meeting with people, kind of body language, kind of, and you put this energy across to people. It's not just you do it, but you do it and people read you. They subconsciously read your body. Okay. Let me go back to the second one. What it means when a man has that little sneery smile. A sneer-like grin is an indicator that he's not being sincere with you, points out body language expert Patty Wood. It's a split face gesture. Each side of the face is telling a different story. Ooh, he's not being honest what he wants, huh? Okay, he lifts his eyebrows. What about that one? You ever meet a man or ever do that when you're looking at a woman or somebody? you lift your eyebrows. I'm going to get back to you guys in a minute. If you want to comment or questions or want to chat, we'll do that. Or you got questions for Spirit. But I'm having fun with this. Not there's like 62 of these, and we're not going to do them all, obviously. That would just like take the whole more than an hour to do this. Because, okay, when a man sees something he's into, he automatically lift or lower his eyebrows, wrinkling his forehead in the process. But you have to keep your eyes peeled to catch a glimpse of his telltale signal. Anthropologists call it the eyebrow flash because it's usually lightning quick. Well, that one might not be the easiest one to detect, but if you first see somebody, a man, kind of does the little eyebrow thing, you go, okay, this is going to work. I'm kind of into this guy. This might just work out. So if you do that to women, raise your eyebrows a little bit. It's really, you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm kind of into this. And if she's reading you at all, if she's picking up those subtle gestures at all, then she's knowing it. But there's a lot of them here. So it's not just that one. There's a lot of the same things. Let's do a few more. What else was I going to talk about? Oh, I was going to talk about, I have all these articles that are kind of fun today. So, okay, I like this one. First meeting. I could not necessarily first meeting. He touches his belt or jeans pocket, like puts his hands in his pockets, jeans, or touches his belt, plays with his belt. If he touches his belt, hangs his thumb off a front pocket. Do you know what I mean by that? He's got four fingers in and his thumb is sticking out. This is really kind of interesting things because you never think about this stuff, right? Or he scratches himself down there. Ooh. Okay, you know what I mean by that, or they mean by that. You may need to hose him down. He's subconsciously trying to draw his attention to his assets. He's trying to get you to point at his member, right? His boys. So, if a man's doing that to you, or if you're doing that to a woman, be careful what you're doing. Okay. Or be careful of his intention. If he's doing that automatically, trying to get your attention, look at his crotch. And it can, any age. It's not just young men. Old men do this too. Everybody does it because it's just a body language technique. So if you're out on a date for the first time, yeah, be careful with those. Yeah, be careful with those guys. Because they got one thing in mind. He holds a long, piercing gaze. What it means, although you may think he's smitten, he could be playing you. Ooh, not holding intense eye contact for more than 5 seconds doesn't happen naturally. So he may be using the look as a seduction technique to get you into bed. Okay, guys, be careful with that one. What are you trying to do? Don't make a woman feel uncomfortable by staring at her for over 5 seconds. You're trying to get her. Okay. See, this is kind of protection stuff too, isn't it? You know, do you do it? The men out there, do you do this stuff? Do you make a woman feel uncomfortable by staring at her for over 5 seconds? And body language-wise, from body language techniques, you have something in mind there. You really do. Which isn't necessarily the best thing on a first date, is it? Or even second date, or whatever date, whatever you think. It's not appropriate for your maybe for the intentions you have in mind. He stands or sits with his toes pointed towards each other. What it means? This means that he's feeling a little unsure of himself. So if a person is sitting at the bar and is striking this pose, he's digging, but needs reassurance that the interest is mutual. So he's sitting at a bar stool or sitting at a table, and his toes are kind of pointed at each other, and he's kind of not pointed at you, and his feet, he sits with his toes toward each other. Usually it's you see that, you know, actors use these techniques, you know that, in movies, to kind of put across a meaning from the body language, you know, pointing at each other. So it means that there's he's not secure in his feelings, and he needs to be drug out a little bit in his feelings. Okay, let's do a couple more. I'm waiting for you guys to call in. I really want to hear from you folks. So, if anybody do any of these, or any women out there who this happens to them, or they see these signs and go, whoa, wait a minute, especially the thing with the hands in the pockets and the thumb sticking out and the pointing at the, yeah, whatever, right? Okay, so no comments from the peanut gallery today. Let me go on then. He has a coy closed mouth grin that shows only at the corners of his upturned mouth. Rest assured he likes you, but he doesn't want to reveal too much too soon. Mm-hmm. He's probably a bit shy and possibly insecure, so he won't put all of his emotions in line right away. So he had this upturned mouth, this shy little coy smile. He's into you, but he's a little shy about it. So maybe he needs some prompting if you're into it. Maybe you need to pull him out a little bit, okay? What do you think? He tilts his head slight to the side when your eyes meet. Okay? The head tilt is a subconscious come hither symbol to any female to the guy has feelings for, any woman he has the feelings for. So if the man has been making eyes for the last hour, gives you that head tilt, that's your cue to go in for the kill. Introduce yourself and even send him a drink if you're at a bar. I mean, this is like, you know, bar type stuff, right? But you could do it anywhere, right? Even at work, right? So let's go back over that one again. The head tilt. The head tilt. It's kind of fun, isn't it? The head tilt. Let's read that one again. He tilts his head slight to the side when your eyes meet. You can see that. Slightly to the side. Okay. Time for you to jump in on that one, because that means he's interested. Maybe a little time to, as they say, go in for the kill. But could this be anywhere? This could be at Starbucks, right? Yeah. Watch the body language of people. Body language is really more important than verbal language sometimes of meeting people. And this could be not just in romance. Okay, I see I have a caller. Now, I only have a couple minutes, so we can't get into a deep discussion on any particular topic, but I'm talking about body language here, and I think it's kind of interesting if you want to meet people and to know about the situation with somebody. You talk about love all the time, but you get these signals about love, don't we? Okay? Hello?
Yes, George. In line with your question or your topic, I wouldn't stare. I would probably look into her eyes and then see how she reciprocates and then read her body language and then take
right.
that forward. Take the
right. Now, that's really careful. That's really important to read her body language on what she's putting out to you, her openness about you, I like that one point they made about if you're sitting where her knees pointed. Are they pointed at you or are they pointed away from you? Is there playing with her hair? Is she modeling you? If you're doing things, is she following what you're doing and doing very similar things with your hands and your body? Those are really key to are you connecting or not. It works. I mean, they've done test cases on thousands of test cases on these, and they've actually proven to be true. Okay?
So,
if you're out on a date, if you're with somebody, just try the modeling for, like, moving your hands and see if she follows your hands. Fold your hands, unfold your hands, put your hand on your chin, your face, see if she does the same thing, that sort of thing, okay? I wouldn't cross your arms across your chest, because that's a shutdown move, and you don't want a shutdown move, okay?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, try all that. See how it works for you, and you'll know if you're connecting or not, okay?
Okay, George, I will. I'll call up another time when we have more time to talk.
Okay, take care. Bye now.
And you, thanks, bye.
Oops. Oh, what am I doing? I did the wrong thing. Oh, no, I tried to kill the show already. I got a minute. Okay, I'm kind of into this body language thing. I think tomorrow's show we'll get more into that. Or if you want to talk to dead people, if you want to do some other things, we can do that. It's going to be a kind of a fallback about body language and reading people, and that not just applies to dating. It applies to relationships that you're already in, the workplace relationships. It could even be female on female, male on male. How to use body language to understand the other person. are their words actually in harmony? So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. And yeah, I'll be back. Tomorrow's Thursday. Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. Have a beautiful evening. I love you guys. Take care. Bye now.